Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hello, Barracuda fans, and welcome to another edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. With the Barracuda's 4-0 win on the road against Tucson on Wednesday, they have now picked up points in 6 of their first 7 games to start the month of March. The Goals were able to win 6-1 on Wednesday over Henderson, so they remain 5 points ahead of the Barracuda for the final playoff spot in the AHL's Pacific Division. In this episode, we'll recap the last 3 games with highlights, and we'll chat with Barracuda forward Nick Merkley. On Friday night, the Barracuda kicked off the first of a home and road against the top team in the AHL, the Stockton Heat. After a scoreless opening period, Joachim Blichfeldt will get things started with his 18th of the year at 2:07 of the middle frame.
Now Blichfeldt will guide it along for Kyle Topping. Topping down the right wing will pull up, try to get away from Gravel. Now tries to slither under him, does so successfully, skates towards the net, near side, one-timer! Blichfeldt scores!
Just 17 seconds later, though, Emilio Peterson of the Heat would level the score up at 1-1.
Chance for the goaltender, Adam Warner, and now a shot from the left side, and the Heat answer back. It beats Zach Amon on the near side, and we're level at 1-1.
Then at 4:53, Barracuda forward Evan Weinger would find the back of the net with his 9th of the year to give the Barracuda back their lead.
Now Čičak behind his net, skates away from Peterson, guides up right wing side. We're tied at 1-1 in the second period. Chmielewski, he's got a man, it's Weinger, makes his way to the net, he scores! A power move by Weinger!
But then at 6:05, Jacob Pelche would score to tie the game up at 2-2. At 16:51 of the second period, Artemi Knyazov would give the Barracuda back their one-goal advantage with his 4th of the season.
And now DeSimone in his own end, he blew a tire. Turnover forced because of it. Here's a chance, Knyazov, he scores! DeSimone blew a tire behind the net. John Leonard scooped the puck up. He finds Knyazov entering the zone.
Up by a score of 3-2 heading into the third period, Knyazov would score again, his 5th of the year and his first multi-goal effort in the AHL.
It's Chmielewski back through center. John Leonard, thread pass, got a man, scores! Knyazov, he's got another one, and the Barracuda take a 4-2 lead.
But at 5:24, Mark Simpson would cut the lead back down to 1 before John Leonard would find the back of the net at 6:11 on the power play to push the advantage back up to a pair.
Crossfeed intended for Peltier, and now Artemi Knyazov will leave it for John Leonard. Leonard through center with speed. Chmielewski stick handles in the O zone, gives off for Leonard, backhander, scores!
Up by a score of 5-3, the Barracuda would watch their lead fall out of their grasp. At 9:53, Walker Duehr would cut it down to a one-goal advantage, and then with Stockton's net empty, Matt Phillips would tie it up at 5-5, his 21st of the season and his 50th point of the campaign.
Empty net to our right. It's a 5-4 lead for the Barracuda. Faceoff controlled by the Heat. Shinfall tees up. Blocked shot. Leonard's stick broken too. So he's got no stick. Here's an opportunity. A little east-west play by the Heat, and it goes wide. Now Valimaki. Leonard's got no stick. Valimaki down low. It's a 6-on-4.5 now. Valimaki from distance. Puck loose. And the whistle blown right before the puck went into the back of the net. The whistle certainly was blown before the puck was in. A discussion being had by the officials. and the goal is good.
The time of the goal for Phillips would come at 18:21. After the Barracuda outshot the Heat 3-0 in overtime, the game would need a shootout to decide a winner. It would take all the way until the sixth round when Jonas Schindvall would score and Jake McGrew was denied, as the Heat would find a way to pick up the come-from-behind victory. The Barracuda did earn a point, though, meaning they had now earned points in all five games to start the month of March. The matchup would shift to the Stockton Arena the following night. In the opening period, on its second power play of the first, Jasper Weatherby would get things started with his third of the year at 6:47.
Could 0 for 1 at this point on the man advantage on their second power play look here in the first. Nick Merkley snakes his way through traffic. Scooped up, shot, scores! Jasper Weatherby opens up the scoring on the power play.
But then at 15:50 the opening frame, Itu Tulola would tie it up with his 10th of the season. In the second period, tied at 1-1, Jake McGrew would carry the puck down the right wing and beat Dustin Wolf to give the Barracuda a 2-1 lead.
Good clean hit there by Onabuchi as Phillips tried to make a cutback move as he entered the offensive zone, and Onabuchi got him in his crosshairs. Back up ice, here come the Barracuda shot, McGrew! He scores!
Then a couple of minutes later, at 11:03, Lane Peterson would make it 3-1 Barracuda.
Time now for Ryan Merkley. Now for Nick Merkley. No relation. Steps to the dot. Near side, Peterson. Time, space, shoots. He scores!
But late in the second period, Emilio Peterson would cut the lead back down to 1 with his 7th of the year and his 2nd in as many games. With the score now at 3-2 heading into the third, former Barracuda forward Alex Gallant would tie it up at 2:49. Then, just 11 seconds later, Luke Philp would give Stockton its first lead.
Kinyazov, he turns it over, dangerously so, backhander, they score! And the Heat take a 4-3 lead, a disastrous turnover by the youngster Kinyazov.
The Heat would all but put the game away at 10:48 as Byron Fraes would score his 14th of the year. And at 13:55, Emilio Peterson on a penalty shot would beat Alexei Melnichuk to give Stockton a 6-3 lead. The Heat would hold on to the victory as the Barracuda would watch their 5-game point streak come to an end. On Wednesday, in the first of 3 straight against the Tucson Roadrunners, with both teams sitting at 39 points and 5 points behind San Diego for the final playoff spot, Evan Weinger would wait just 57 seconds into the first to get things started with his 10th of the year.
Ashing had it, lost it, stripped off of his blade by Onabuchi. Good play. And the Barracuda are back through center. Down the left wing, here's a chance for Weinger. He shoots! He scores! Evan Weinger, just 57 seconds into the opening period, draws first blood.
Then, with under a minute to go in the opening frame, Lane Peterson, the former Roadrunner forward, would give the Barracuda a 2-0 lead.
And Tucson recollect, and Travis Barron will stick handle his way up the wing. Rather, that's Ben McCartney, the rookie forward. Hopkowax takes it back into the Oso. Quick shot, Peterson! He scores!
In the second period, Jake McGrew would push the lead to 3-0 with his 10th of the year, and then McGrew would score again later in the period at 9:44 for his 2nd of the frame and his 11th of the season.
Alt shot from the right point, save made by Profetov. The puck squibs free. Now Čičak winds one up for the point. Loose puck, scored! Jake McGrew cleans up the loose change in the crease, and the Barracuda take a 3-0 lead. Rush. Left forward, Shemalevsky, left flank, back to McGrew! He scores! Jake McGrew has another one, and the Barracuda take a 4-0 lead. McGrew's got his 2nd of the period, his 11th of the season, and it is all Barracuda here in the desert.
5 different fights would break out in the contest as the two teams combined for 114 penalty minutes. Alex Stalock would pick up the win, making 40 stops in his Barracuda season debut and his first action in a Barracuda sweater since January of 2016. The Barracuda and Roadrunners will continue their 3-game set on Friday at the Tucson Convention Center. Puck drop is scheduled for 7 o'clock. When we come back on CUDA Confidential, Barracuda 4 Nick Merkley will join us. This is CUDA Confidential.
Score! Timo Meier gets his first of the year and a fist pump.
It's everything Sharks hockey in one place.
The crowd is on its feet, and check out the Sharks bench. They're into it too.
It's the Sharks Audio Network, a 24/7 streaming audio platform dedicated to Sharks hockey and the destination to listen to Sharks games. You can find the Sharks Audio Network on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital, and at sjsharks.com/listen. Download the app today to listen to Sharks hockey, plus unique Sharks content all day long on the Sharks Audio Network.
When you hear coordinated care, what do you imagine? Nurses going viral for their dance routine? Not here. At Kaiser Permanente, coordinated care has nothing to do with dancing and everything to do with quality and convenience. With Kaiser Permanente, you don't have to worry about getting your records sent from place to place because our electronic medical records seamlessly connect all of your doctors, nurses, and specialists. It's so easy, you might do your happy dance. Kaiser Permanente, tomorrow's healthcare today. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Now, back to the action. Barracuda hockey continues now.
We are pleased to be joined by Barracuda forward Nick Merkley. Merks, first of all, thank you for the time, and how are things going?
Thanks. Things are great. Good weather today. I was sitting in the sun, so not too much to complain about.
Man, you're used to this good weather nowadays. You're drafted by the Arizona Coyotes. You spent a handful of years within their organization. You played a lot in Tucson. It feels like Groundhog Day every single day there. The sun is out, and it's at minimum 80 degrees. And you get to the summer months, and you're north of triple digits. So you're used to this weather. How have you liked adjusting now, though, to a new city? This is your first year in San Jose. How has that adjustment been for you?
Yeah, it's been good. Obviously, a little more little busier than Tucson and back home, but loving the weather and in Campbell here, it's really nice. They got the prune yard there and stuff. So it's been a great adjustment and hasn't been too hard.
What has the adjustment been like? You're through almost the entire season, so you're comfortable with your teammates now, but it wasn't the first time you had been traded. It wasn't the first time you had to walk into a new locker room, not really knowing any faces. So what has that been like, going to a new organization, meeting your new teammates, and kind of building those relationships?
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to see kind of the team dynamic and stuff. And luckily, it was good here and a lot of good guys. No bad guys, I guess I would say. It was good. It's came in pretty seamlessly and thought I fit in well with the group. And we have a good locker room in there.
You're a Calgary native. You're from Southeast Calgary. So that's a hockey hotbed. Canada, obviously, as a whole, they have a huge passion for the sport. So it's not a surprise you got into hockey, but what was life like growing up in Calgary? And what was your childhood like going through hockey and coming up through the ranks?
Yeah, I mean, I played pretty much everything to start out, played lacrosse, soccer, kind of all the sports. Kind of picked hockey as my go-to and just loved it right from the start. We have two private lakes by our house, and so played hours and hours on end with my brother and a couple buddies out there. I'd say that's probably where all the skills started to come into play. And kind of working up through the Southeast. I was in Lake Bonavista and then played for the Buffaloes in Midget. And then got drafted and stuff into the Dub. And it was a great, great life and pretty lucky to even get a chance to play.
So do you still spend your off seasons in Calgary? Do you enjoy going back home? I'm sure in the summer, but do you spend your off seasons there now as well?
Yeah, pretty much the whole off seasons in Calgary. I like to get out to Kelowna for a couple weeks or a month as well. Obviously that's not a bad place to play. I've been pretty fortunate so far. So I love Kelowna too. So hopefully one day I can end up there, but right now it's Calgary.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about Kelowna. I think I'll have to make a trip myself out there at some point. What a great place to play your junior hockey. We'll get in a little bit into your career in the WHL, but I want to go all the way back to the start. You mentioned skating on the lakes, on the ponds, falling in love with the sport there. When was the first time you remember actually putting on the skates, the first time you laced them up, the first time you got on the ice?
I honestly don't have that great of a memory, but my dad told me I was two, so it's I don't even think you have a good memory then. So it was I'm sure it was special. And I wasn't really picking anything else but hockey. My dad kind of got me right into it. So, yeah.
I remember growing up playing hockey myself in California. I was the one kid in my school, basically me and my brothers, who played hockey. Now, when you grow up in Canada, it'd probably be weird if you didn't play hockey. So the fact that your dad got you into the sport, was that kind of a no-brainer that that happened? And it's just something that naturally progresses with most kids in Canada?
Yeah, for sure. And then the other aspect of it, you're kind of competing with all your buddies and can talk about all the hockey stuff at school. And yeah, it's pretty exciting that way. It's nice to have your teammates and your schoolmates as well. So I think that's pretty cool to have and be around.
So you mentioned playing a little bit of lacrosse. You played basically all sports until hockey took over on a full-time basis. When was that point, that kind of split in the road when you decided, if I really want to pursue a hockey career, this is something that I want to do all year long?
Yeah, there's a kind of a cutoff around 10 where you start playing spring hockey and you're playing kind of year round with different teams all the time and certain tournaments. So it's around 10, pretty young. You got to make the decision, but it worked out pretty good. So hopefully I picked the right one.
So you're from Calgary. There's obviously a WHL team in Calgary, big in Western Canada. Most kids want to play in that league when you're playing youth hockey. That's a huge step, and it's a big step in trying to make the NHL. When did the WHL come onto your radar, and when was that something that you wanted to pursue and a league that you wanted to play in?
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate that my brother went through the process. He was drafted high. He was third overall, highly touted, and things didn't go great for him. So it was kind of like iffy if I was going to go to the WHL. We're kind of thinking about NCAA as well. So, but then Kelowna drafted me, and the organization, obviously each organization is different in that league. And, Kelowna was great. And, yeah, I can't say enough good things about it there.
So if you had gone the collegiate route, the US college route, would you have probably played in the BCHL?
The AJ, probably.
So you would have played in the AJ, I guess, because you're from Calgary. That makes sense. What were a few schools? I don't know if you ever got that far down the road, but what were a few U.S. schools that you had a little bit on your radar? Did you ever speak to any of those schools?
I know Penn State contacted my agent or me, and that was probably the only one. I didn't really like, I don't, because I was like, high pick in the WHL. A lot of, I don't think people think you're going to go that route. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's a bunch of top tier and it seems like a lot of fun from what I hear from the guys. So yeah, I mean, either way, if you're a good player, you're going to make it. So that's kind of how you have to look at it.
You were taken in the top 10 of the 2012 WHL Bantam Draft, 9th overall by Kelowna. Now Kelowna is notoriously known as one of the best programs, one of the best teams in the WHL. They've pumped out NHL talent for years. Once you were selected in the top 10, knowing that you were going to be a high draft pick, and then the fact that you landed in Kelowna, which is, again, is considered one of the best teams in all the WHL, was that a pretty easy decision once you were selected by Kelowna to make that decision, take your talents to the WHL?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we sat on it for, I mean, half the year there, but then I played at 15 in the dub. So kind of, that's when you make your decision. You're either, once you play one game, you're signing that contract and you're there for as long as, but I mean, it worked out great. So, and they were great. So yeah, you make it around 15, I'd say.
So for people in California and in the States who are not familiar with Kelowna, describe it a little bit to us. Again, it's one of the best areas in the WHL, one of the best franchises. Describe the town and why so many NHLers now make that their off-season hub.
Yeah, I mean, it's the valley. There's a few lakes around there, bunch of hiking stuff, lots of boating, tons of boating. It's more like a big summer place. Like, pretty much everyone wants to go there in the summer and hang out. And yeah, and obviously, also, I think it helps now that there is NHL players there, so more and more young guys and other NHL players want to be on that ice time and kind of work out together and stuff. So it's kind of, I think it's attracting more and more people. So yeah. And just the city itself, all the fans are great there and Yeah, it's one of the best for sure, I'd say.
Describe kind of the fan support there, what the environment is like on a game night playing for the Rockets.
Yeah, it was great every night. I mean, pretty much packed barn every night. So get pretty fortunate with that as well.
So you wore, when you were on the Kelowna Rockets, their color scheme is teal and red. So when you were traded to the Sharks, were you like, I know teal. I know what teal will look like on me. I think this will fit.
Yeah, I remember Murph telling me that. He's like, oh, I'm sure you're used to this. So yeah, it worked out pretty good. It's pretty funny that you go back to the roots.
So you were drafted top 10 in the Bantam draft. When did the NHL get on your radar? Now, every kid, I think, in Canada, every kid growing up playing the sport wants to get to the highest level. They want to play in the NHL. But when did that kind of start becoming a reality for you? When did scouts start lurking around? And when did you realize, you know, maybe I have an opportunity to get to the highest level?
Yeah, I mean, 16-year-old year, I had a pretty good year and got, like, as soon as you kind of hit that WHL, I think if you can produce at that level, you start thinking like, this is the real deal. I think I had that confidence throughout the whole time. And it was nice to put up the numbers I did in the 16-year-old year. I played with great players as well. That always helps. And getting big opportunity when you're that young is hard in that league as well. So I was fortunate there. And I think just when I got that rookie of the year in the WHL, that's when I really started talking. Like that 17-year-old year, you talk to scouts, you go for dinners with them, you do a bunch of stuff. It's kind of crazy actually to think about when you're going through it.
What was it like to win the rookie of the year your first season in the WHL? You produced, as you mentioned, you were able to step right in, be a difference maker. But what was it like to earn a little bit of hardware after your first season?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the best feelings of my life. I think obviously you want to have the team success and you want those trophies the most, but to get recognized for that, it was a great feeling, and obviously wanted to continue that moving forward. And yeah, it was nice to get at least a little accolade for the hard work.
We're talking to Nick Merkley, Barracuda forward. You were drafted in the first round by Arizona in 2015. Getting drafted in the first round, I'm sure, was a huge thrill for you. Did you have any idea that Arizona was going to draft you? Were they one of the teams that you spoke to? And walk us through draft day. Where were you at? Who were you with when you found out? Were you at the draft? Were you able to go up on a stage? What was draft day like for you?
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy day, actually. And I mean, leading up to the draft at the combine, I talked to, I think, almost probably 30 teams. So all of them almost. And so I didn't really have one I was like kind of leaning towards or had an idea of for sure in mind. But draft day was crazy. I was sitting there sweating the whole time. I was obviously the last pick in the round. So me and my dad are getting nervous. My mom and my agents texted me like, oh, well, you think these guys are going to take you? Then they wouldn't. So it's definitely a fun experience, but very stressful as well. Obviously, in the long run, it's doesn't mean much. And you just kind of get put with a team and then you got to prove yourself again. So but the whole day itself was amazing. It was in Florida too, which wasn't bad. Got on some jet skis before and stuff. So yeah, it worked out pretty good. And yeah, it was definitely a fun day.
Jet skis before the draft. That sounds pretty epic. You can't really beat Florida as a location either. So you joined the Coyotes organization a couple of years later, and you had a little bit of adversity during your time. You suffered a knee injury when you remember Tucson. In fact, it came against the Barracuda, unfortunately. I remember the play pretty vividly. You got tied up, I think, with Jake Middleton in the corner, yeah. Kind of a unintentional play, and unfortunately had pretty major consequences. Walk us through the whole process of dealing with the injury, the adversity that came with that, rehabbing, and trying to get back to where you were prior to the injury.
Yeah, I mean, I did it in junior as well. I did it after my 17-year-old year. So after I got drafted, I played about half the season and then tore it then. Tore my ACL, but I was out for 6 months then. So that was tough, being a young guy like that and all this pressure on you. But I signed throughout that process with AZ. So that was hopeful and kind of got through that one. And then played a couple of years, and I was actually playing really well in Arizona and Tucson. I was putting up decent numbers in the A and got my first NHL game. And then I came down and it happened. And obviously that's to go through it again was the hardest part, just to feel like you're out of that. You finally are healthy again. And they say after a knee injury or an ACL, it takes a year to feel fully back at your full like potential game. So I felt like I was finally feeling good again and then get hit again. But I mean, I think it made me stronger throughout the whole process. And I went to Philadelphia and worked with a guy, a specialist there, for rehab with Jacob Chychrun. So yeah, it was good. I mean, we kind of pushed each other and he was going through the similar stuff. So, I mean, as the second time it was definitely harder, but I think it makes you stronger in the long run.
What do you make of Chychrun's career so far? He has turned out to be quite the player. I know there's potential as we may date this interview, but potential he could be on the move. And I know he's a big piece that the Coyotes are trying to get some assets for. But being your friend, being that he went through it, what do you make of his career so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely nice to see that he's coming off that injury. And obviously last year he had 20 goals or something like that. So great to see him doing that well. And I knew he was working out with him and skating with him a ton. He was special. So yeah, it's awesome to see him thriving up there.
When you're dealing with a knee injury, and you mentioned that you injured your knee in junior first, you did it again, which has got to just be heartbreaking. Did you find the physical rehab the harder part or the mental side of it? What was tougher for you?
Oh, I'd definitely say the mental. I think it's harder to stick with it and go every day and do kind of the exact same thing and almost not get any results. But obviously it's paid off and I've got some good opportunity in certain places. So that's like once I got back up to the NHL, that was like the best feeling in the world. Kind of makes all your time worth it.
Who was your idol as a kid growing up in Calgary? Was it somebody on the Flames or maybe somebody else in the NHL? Who do you idolize growing up?
Bobby Orr, actually. My dad kind of got me into him. Just kind of humble guy. He seemed to do it all. Go end to end all the time, which isn't bad. And he seemed like he was so humble after he'd score. He kind of put his head down and seemed almost embarrassed. So, yeah, a guy like that, obviously you want to have that same character and obviously ability to it. But I don't know if that's you can get to that same level. But yeah, definitely the character is what you would look after.
Did you ever think about playing D if Bobby Orr was your idol, or was it always forward?
I was pretty much always forward. Always wanted to score. So my brother played a little D. He was kind of back and forth. So I think my dad got a little in on that. So
you spoke about your brother a little bit. He played the Western League as well. You mentioned he was a high pick. Didn't end up playing professional hockey. Went and played the Canadian college route. Your brother's name's Jay. I would imagine that you guys had a lot of competitive days and nights, whether it was on the pond or on the lake or even in the basement, as it's often taken in the middle of the winter. What was it like having an older brother that's really only a couple of years older than you and the competition that kind of uplifted both of you guys? And I'm sure it made you guys better hockey players and you're able to play with each other. Always had somebody to play with.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Obviously, pretty lucky. It's only 2 years apart. It would have been nice to be 1 year apart and play together once in a while, but definitely the competition was there. And not so much me and him. We'd always get our buddies involved and go at it with more so our buddies than each other. But yeah, obviously seeing him, he was probably my biggest idol growing up. It's just his success and how good he was. He was probably the best minor hockey league player of his generation. So yeah, he was awesome to watch and kind of look after. And yeah, I mean, just great role model for me to look up to.
Watching him go to the WHL, did that only motivate you more to get to that level?
Yeah, I'd say so for sure. I mean, always a dream of mine. I was always texting him and seeing how he's doing and if he was loving it and stuff. So yeah, it was exciting for me too, to obviously his biggest fan, and it was awesome to get to see him out there. So
Well, it's been fun watching, man. It's been nice to not have you on the opposing side of things. So you kind of tormented us for a couple of years when you were in Tucson. You guys had some really good teams. Now we've got yourself. We've got Lane Peterson on the team. It's like a reunion of the Roadrunners. But it's been fun watching you play. I love your game. I love the way you compete. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck down the final stretch and as the team tries to get into the playoffs.
All right. Thanks a lot, Noah.